Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Mettow! The Fan Mettow! And the Rangers have one more hell to climb, baby! But it's Moot Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the final!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 304, McMono here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. So I made it, Fliegelman's given me a new nickname and I like it, or at least maybe we'll do a segment, something along those lines, because I'm willing to take on all the Judge postseason haters, and I'm willing to take on Aaron Boone haters as well. Again, I want to preface this, because people think I'm just blindly supporting Aaron Boone, I'm a Yankee shill, all this stuff, and I get it. I just think the outrage for everything he does is tiring. That's all. I know he hasn't won a World Series, but we can't blame him for everything. And if you look at last night, they have a 6-run lead. Again, no closer. Williams isn't there. Still waiting for Hamilton. Still waiting for Loaisiga and Cousins. Those are the guys who are going to be the back end of the bullpen. Right now, they have Hill, they have Weaver, they have Leiter. Cruz pitched 2 innings the other night. I don't know if you're going to him. You have a 6-run lead. 6! You still have 6 games straight to play without a break, right? I don't know about Williams and how he's going to be not having been with the team and off having a baby. Is he going to be ready to just jump right in tomorrow night? I would think, but I don't know. Like, the state of the bullpen early on in the year is in flux. It's in flux. Now, we went over the other night when he brought in Leiter and then left him in and gave up the home run to Suarez. And I said when I did the show, I had no problem with it, but I could understand Yankee fans who think they should have brought in Weaver in the 8th inning for a 4-out save. I just don't think he's going to do that. You got to find out a little bit about Leiter, too. He could get, you know, he struck out Naylor in the at-bat before, so you felt like maybe he found himself, and he made a bad pitch. And again, there's no closer. You got Weaver. You really want to go Weaver for multiple innings and then, you know, maybe not have him the next night? You got to, you know, you still had a 2-run lead. Anything but a home run doesn't beat you. He gives up the grand slam. Like, and then in this game, he brings in Yarbrough with a 6-run lead. A 6-run lead. He goes to his last bull. He goes to Ottavino, gets out of it, and then he goes to Yarbrough to start the inning with a 6-run lead. That's when you bring in the worst guy on your bullpen. Why would you bring in guys you're going to use tomorrow, who knows, with a 6-run lead? Every manager in the game brings in their worst reliever with a 6-run lead. So he brings in a reliever. He walks the first 2 hitters and then gives up a single for bases loaded. Now, everyone wants to scream, take him out there. You're facing Perdomo, who isn't a real power hitter, right? And you're still in a position where he hasn't given up a run yet. You have a 6-run lead. Even if he does hit the grand slam, you've got a 2-run lead. Do I want to bring in a reliever and put them in that tough spot if I don't have to? Like, and who knows what happens anyway, but like, even if he gives up a base hit, okay, then you go to the bullpen. He ends up giving up the grand slam and then sticking around for 2 lefties, who he gets out, by the way, of course. But that's what you do in baseball with a 6-run lead. You have the cushion where even a grand slam doesn't beat you. You're still up 2 runs. What, I mean, who do you want them to go to there? Who are you going to feel good about? Leiter? Cruz, who threw 2 innings the other night? I mean, I guess you could bring in, you know, Hill, you know, Tim Hill in that moment, but ultimately, it's on Yarbrough for walking the 2 first hitters of the inning. But we scream and yell about how Boone is terrible. Like, it's just, it drives me nuts. Like, every time a reliever comes in and doesn't pitch well, it's on Boone. Meanwhile, how good has the bullpen been all of these years with Aaron Boone? Like, look at the numbers. They're a top 2 or 3 bullpen with no names, with guys we never heard of. Look what they've done with Weaver. Look what they've done. You know, Clay Holmes was a 2-time All-Star. Coming over from Pittsburgh as a nobody. Like, they have consistently done this year after year, and yet we blame them for everything. Anytime the Yankees lose, it's Aaron Boone. So I'm not necessarily saying Boone's a great manager, and there's always second-guessing that goes with every decision a manager makes. But anytime something happens, everybody immediately goes to Boone's an idiot, and it drives me nuts. There are times where he makes mistakes that I wouldn't agree with, and then there are times where he brings in a guy with a... If you can't trust him, like, this is more about the state of the bullpen and the idea that Brian Cashman brought in Yarbrough instead of some other options. There are other options out there better than Yarbrough. But when you're up 6, that's who you go to. That's it. He's a major league pitcher. Figure out a way to not give up the grand slam. And by the way, he didn't give up the lead, and they still won the game. We go nuts. That's the only reason. So now my new nickname is, whenever we defend Aaron Judge and his postseason and Aaron Boone and his decisions, I am going to be known as the Aaron Karen. I think that's actually really good, Fleeks. I like it. The Aaron Karen. I am going to yell and scream at you and defend my Aarons. I'm an Aaron Karen. I like it. Pete in Copaig. What's up, Pete?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man? How are you?
Not much. Just getting off work and on the ride home. Just 2 things quick. Before I get to my main point, you had said that the Yankees really haven't been known for developing pitching the last call, and I want to disagree real quick, because the last 3 guys that we've developed are Luis Gil, Rookie of the Year, mm-hmm. Michael King out of San Diego, who's a stud, and Clark Schmidt, who we're all begging to be back already.
Well, I mean, listen, Clark Schmidt's been pretty good, and Luis Gil had 1, you know, very good season, but he's injured. Those aren't answers yet. And Michael King, as good as he was, he's not with the Yankees. He didn't have that season with the Yankees. I hear what you're saying, and they've developed other pitchers who've gotten them, you know, trade pieces and stuff, but I don't think it's fair to call Luis Gil and Clark Schmidt, like, fully developed, really good pitchers. We'll see, and maybe that'll change, but I mean, over the years, like, those are the 2 guys. Like, it's Andy Pettitte and not much else for the Yankee organization as far as developing starting pitching. You have to be fair. I mean, all their, you know, they have to go out and sign CC Sabathia. In this rotation, they got Cole Rodon and Max Fried making how much money? Like, they've had to go out and buy starting pitching because they've been unable to really fill their rotation with Yankee farmhands. It's just, it's a fact.
Agreed. And I mean, realistically, we were talking about, you know, you were talking about them not developing bats either, but, like, that's the turnaround I feel like that we're now getting, is that these bats that are now homegrown that are developing. Yeah. And
no, so right now, so far this season, so far so good. I mean, listen, even Anthony Volpe has been underwhelming. I think you, Pete, you would even have to agree. Like, he was a top 5 prospect in baseball. He was, you know, two or three slots down from Bobby Witt Jr. He was right there with Gunnar Henderson as far as prospects in the game, and those two have completely, I mean, dwarfed him. I mean, he's nowhere near the kind of player those two guys are. So he's been a little underwhelming. I think hopefully this could be a big year for him. I'd love to see that, you know, step up into at least getting close to those kind of players. But we'll see. And Dominguez has been a big prospect, and I like his swing, and I think he's coming along fine. And Ben Rice has really, I mean, I think he looks like a completely different hitter. He looks extremely dangerous at the plate. So we'll see. We'll see if they've finally done it. But we have to wait and see.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I 100% agree with you. I think Volpe definitely took a step back. You know, like you said, was in the top, you know, 3-4 conversation of young shortstops.
Yeah.
And, yeah. The last season, you know, was not ideal. But
I mean, he's yet to have 700 OPS. He's yet to be a average major league hitter. Like, he hasn't even been an average major league hitter yet. He was a top prospect in baseball. He was not the top. He was a top 5 or 6 prospect in all of baseball, and he's yet to be an average. After two seasons, he's yet to be at least an average major league hitter. So he's got to do better.
I know, I was shaking my boots a little bit last year. I thought he was about to get Ray Ordonez syndrome.
Yeah, well, and the positive thing is he hit in the postseason, so that should be all that matters. Anyone who's got a problem with him should just say, who cares about the regular season? He was a good postseason player, because apparently that's all that matters. So
yeah, that's all anybody cares about. That's it. They are in the postseason.
Yep.
But the main reason I'm calling is, you know, you were saying about Yankee fans being salty and, you know, chanting Soto sucks, you know, and, you know, it looking bad. And my whole thing is that, you know, right across town, you've had the New York Rangers screaming Potvin sucks at the top of their lungs for 40 years.
Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard my take on it. I actually, the first time I got my take out on this was I was the breakout star of season 3, Oh Yeah, on SNY. If you ever get a chance, if they ever replay like that Oh Yeah TV show, I was deemed the breakout star, although it didn't do me anything, of Oh Yeah, and I actually gave my stance on that. I think it is the dumbest chant in the history of sports. I cannot stand it. I honestly, and I know I'm going to offend people when I say this, I think it's a chance for idiots to prove they can whistle. Like, I
agree.
It's so dumb, and I'm a Ranger fan, but the idea, I've been in the building, and I've been to more, back when we used to be able to get credentials, that's a long story, but I used to go to more Ranger playoff games at Madison Square Garden because they were in it every year. They played all those 7-game series. I would go to, like, every year I was at 15 playoff games every single year. Me and Monzo would go all the time, and I'd be in the building of an Eastern Conference Finals against the Capitals, and in the middle of the game, tied 2-2 in the third period, I'd hear like someone whistling. I'm like, why are we doing this chant now? We're not playing the Islanders. It would be like all of a sudden, like, being in a Yankees ALCS game against the Houston Astros, and all of a sudden someone standing up and whistling, and then the whole chant going, you know, Carlton Fisk sucks. Like, why would we do that? Like, I hate it. I hate the Potvin chant with a passion. You're 100% right, Pete.
And I think that you don't have to worry as a fellow Yankee fan. I think they're just getting it out now. It's 10 games into the season. You know, not even, like, let them all get it out now. F1 Soto this, F1 Soto that. Get through the Subway Series. You know, we're very rarely spurned as Yankee fans. We're very rarely, on the tail end of
this. Well, I mean, I think the Juan Soto thing hurt us. I think it's hurt us. We didn't expect it. I mean, he was so great. He seemed so happy hitting in front of Judge. Had the best year of his career. Went to the World Series, hit the home run that sent them to the World Series. I know we heard all year long that it's about the money. Everybody was telling us that. I had a hard time believing that would be the case. And maybe it's not even, right? I don't want to get into this whole why Juan Soto signed with the Mets again. Go watch the documentary if you want to find out. There's plenty of people telling you exactly why Juan Soto chose the Mets. But I do think we all felt like, man, he's so happy, went so well. How the hell would he ever leave? And the Yankees offered him $760 million. And, like, so it just feels like he spurned us because he didn't want us. And people can tell you it's all about the money. If it was just about the money, the Yankee fan wouldn't be as hurt as the Yankee fan is. The Yankee fan is hurt because, yeah, it's about money. That's part of it. But he chose the Mets. We can run from it if we'd like. We can scream about it if we'd like. Who cares? Like, I'm done with it. Now he's just a Met. It's over. He was a Yankee for 1 year. We didn't grow up with him. We didn't live and die with him. We haven't been in the trenches with him. We haven't felt the heartbreak of loss year after year with him. He was there for 1 year. He was a mercenary. They made a trade that I would make again because it did get them to the World Series. I desperately wanted him back. I'm not trying to badmouth him. He's one of the great players in baseball. I loved watching him. And more than that, I loved watching him play. And I'll be totally honest with you, and I've said this too, and I know I'm a different kind of cat when it comes to this stuff. A part of me, and not the whole being of me, but a part of me is glad he's a Met because I'm going to watch him every day. And I love watching Juan Soto play baseball. I do. I love watching Aaron Judge play baseball. But the dynamic of Soto, he wears it, the battle, the mental chess game between the hitter and the pitcher. Soto wears it on his sleeve. He wears it in his body language. It is so much fun to watch. He tells you what he's thinking. Like, it is, he is, his at-bats, even as great as it is to watch Judge and his production, like, I would rather, if I know they're not going to come through, like, a ground out the second base on a 7 or 8 pitch at-bat, I'd rather watch Juan Soto. I have to admit, Juan Soto is as fun an at-bat to watch in a game that I've ever experienced. So part of me is glad that I'm going to be able to watch every one of his bats because I watch all the Met games, that I'm still going to get to see Juan Soto play because he is fun to watch. There is no doubt about it. And the Yankee fan is hurt because in some way, whether it was the money or other things, family, BS things that make no difference or whatever we want to tell ourselves, part of the reason we're all upset is because he chose the Mets over the Yankees. And that now has now sort of buoyed the Met fan into being obnoxious and thinking they suddenly run the city because of that one situation. And the Met fan, and the Yankee fan is still butthurt about it and having a tough time and doesn't like the idea of the Met fan feeling that way about it. Like, it's just this perfect storm where the Met fan overreacts to it and makes it seem like this suddenly changes the dynamic of everything. And the Yankee fan feels pissed off he chose the Mets and now is pissed off that the Met fan is this excited about it and feels this way about it. So we got to go back and forth over this nonsense when none of it really matters. They're not in the same division. They play 6 times. And I could argue that you are hard-pressed to find another 6 games that mean less over the course of 162 than those 6 games will. Like, they mean the same to me as these Arizona Diamondback games. They're interleague play games. They don't matter. So, I mean, it's just silly. And we've both, I think both fan bases are little brother. The Yankees are big brother on the field. I'm sorry, it takes more than signing Juan Soto to do that. Win a couple championships and we'll have a different conversation. Right now, on the field, they're coming off a year that was the greatest year in Mets history, arguably. One of the more fun and outside of a championship, the best year in Mets history, and the Yankees had a better one just last year. So signing Juan Soto away doesn't change that for me. But as far as the fan bases go, we have two little brothers. Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, hey, C-Man, good morning. I want to touch on that real quick. But before I do that, I know it was, you know, Val Kilmer was the other day passing away.
Yeah, very sad. I really like Val.
Yeah, there's a movie I love with him in it. I don't know if you've seen it, Ghost in the Darkness, with him and Michael Douglas.
No, with the lions in Africa?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that movie.
Yeah.
You know, look, I mean, I'm sick of the big brother, little brother garbage, too. I mean, look, I'm a Met fan probably as long as you're alive. You know, can we at least make the playoffs 5 years in a row? It's not something we've ever done, okay? I'm just concerned about that because we have more, you know, important things to worry about than what's going on. The Yankees have been around, you know, I mean, I'm being a little sarcastic, but 100 years before the Mets, okay? They're always going to, you know, have more, you know, fame to their name than the Mets do. So let's, you know, if it's going to be such a big deal, then just realign baseball like you just said and put them in the same division.
Yeah, which might be coming, Eric. I mean, listen, with that, in 10 years, right, and it might not even be that long, but in 10 years, the Yankees and Mets might be in the same division. At some point in Juan Soto's tenure as a Met, he might have to deal with the Yankees in the division. When they add teams, It's 3:21 in the morning, and I'm forgetting the word. What's the word for when they bring in new teams?
Expand.
Thank you. When they expand with two more teams, there's a very good chance they are going to radically realign and put like and think of that division. Think of the Yankees, Mets, Red Sox, Phillies, all in the same division. Maybe the
on
Orioles
top of
too.
Mets and Yankees facing each other. You have like what six teams in baseball that try, and four of them are going to be in the same division.
I know it's going to be brutal. And I wouldn't minimize that. I think there's a very good chance of that happening. So we'll see. But right now, it doesn't mean anything. And I just got a tweet. I want to make sure I clear something up because I've already gotten one tweet on it. I am not happy that Juan Soto chose the Mets over the Yankees. No part of me is happy that he left the Yankees for the Mets. My point was, is if he was going to leave, I would rather, a part of me is glad that he chose the Mets as opposed to going to play for the San Francisco Giants. Because I love watching him play baseball. And if he played for the San Francisco Giants, I wouldn't see him as much. Or if he went back to the Padres, or he joined the Dodgers. Like if he went to some like West Coast team that plays at 10 o'clock at night, or even just some other team that I don't watch as much, I would be like bummed that I don't get to watch him play because I got used to watching him hit and I love watching him hit. Love it. I love baseball. I am a baseball junkie and he is as fun and at bat to watch as any player in baseball and it's not close. Like he is just, Judge is great to watch because of how good he is. But Soto, just everything about him. And it's not just the shuffle. It's the, you know, the nods, the like you can read his mind. It's awesome. He's a glimpse into the thought process of a major league hitter. More than anyone else, you could read it off his body language. I'm shocked he's still as good because he gives the pitcher so much. Like if you're a pitcher and you're facing Juan Soto, he tells you everything. And he's still so damn good. I love watching him play. So no part of me is happy he's a Met. Don't get me wrong. I wish he were a Yankee and I could watch him play every day. And even though this lineup has been dynamic and I feel like it's deeper and I'm excited about what this offense could be, I would still tell you I wish they signed Juan Soto and this team looked different and Juan Soto was back. I still wish that. But I'm just saying if he was going to leave, if he wasn't going to be a Yankee, part of me is glad he's a Met because I'm going to watch him every day. I'm going to watch him every day for the next 15 years. And I love baseball, and he's as much fun to watch as any player in the game. But it's not like I'm happy he left to go to the Mets. I already got a couple tweets about it. If he was going to leave, I'm glad he's not a San Francisco Giant. Honestly, I am. A little bit, at least a part of me. It's not like I understand he could go away and we'd never have to remember him and we could just always think of him fondly for that 1 year and think of the home run he hit to send him to the World Series and that at bat against Gattis, and that could be like all we'd have to worry about, and he could go be a Giant in anonymity and not have to worry about him, and that's fine, but I wouldn't get to watch him. And I love watching him. That's just a fact. Jason in Waterbury. What's up, Jason?
Yo, Chris, what's up, bro?
What's up, bro? How are you?
Good. It's great to talk to you, man.
Good to talk to you.
Listen, I got a question I want to ask you about Judge and compare him to some other hitters. But first, I think I actually give Boone the benefit of the doubt because he takes a beating due to the fact that the Yankee fan really is disgusted with Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman. Maybe. And they, you know, the fan base kind of takes it out on him because he's the guy they see every day. So he wears it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I want to ask.
Yeah, it's a big part of it. I want to ask you about six guys who I think are the great hitters this game's ever seen. I want you to compare Judge to each one of them. So I'm going to ask you one by one real quick, okay? So first one, of course, Barry Bonds. Who's better?
Yeah, I mean, I would still take Barry Bonds in the prime of him at his height under the suspicion of steroids in from like 01 to 03. He would see one pitch a game and hit it out. Judge is getting closer than anyone ever has in my mind, but I still think Barry Bonds was more dangerous in that time period.
Okay, number two, Griffey Jr.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard. I mean, Griffey is so freaking good.
He was
unbelievable. He was the best player in the game. Oh. He was a world-class center fielder as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Judge's power is a little bit more. I mean, I think he's right there. I think you can make an argument if you'd like that Judge is right now better than Griffey ever was, but Griffey did it for a little bit of a longer time. It's close, but I would tell you, I don't know, like last year and what we've seen so far this year and even 22, I think you could argue, and again, he's also right-handed, which is tougher. You see more, Griffey's lefty, he sees right-handed pitching. Yeah. I would
three straight years Griffey Jr. did hit 55 home runs and 56 home runs
I know. I know it's close, but okay. I mean, I'm a little Yankee biased. It's very close, but I think you could make the argument Judge these last 3 years has been better.
Okay, number three, Manny Ramirez.
Yeah, he's a. I think he's a better hitter than Manny Ramirez. I do.
Really? I mean, 350 with 45 and 160 RBIs.
It was also a different time period. Again, you got to understand. Like, I don't think in today's game he's hitting 350. I don't know. There was a lot of guys who were hitting 340.
Yeah, I don't think
if Manny Ramirez plays in today's game, he's not hitting 350.
Yeah, I think he would. Okay, so number four, Juan Gonzalez.
Yeah, he's better than Juan Gonzalez.
No, you think he's better than Juan Gonzalez? Okay.
Yeah, he's a lot number better.
Albert Bell.
Yeah, Albert Bell's a great player. He's better than Albert Bell, too. He does more. He's a better overall player, clearly.
Not better at the plate. More fear at the plate.
I think he is, yeah. He's more
okay, fear. And now listen to the last one, because this guy had unbelievable years. And one of his years, he hit 320 with 64 home runs and 160 RBIs. Of course, it's Sammy Sosa.
Yeah, I mean...
I think how great some of these hitters were.
Yeah, I don't think you're giving credit to how great Judge is, right?
No, I do. Listen, I like Judge. I'm not trying to disparage Judge. I like him, and I'm a Met fan. I do like Judge. I love watching Soto more.
Judge is the better.
These six guys, and I'm not even going to throw Ricky Henderson at you because he's a different kind of player.
Yeah, different kind of player.
Those six guys that I just named, those are the top of the heap. Those are like Mano, Maris, those, you know what I mean? Mains, Aaron, you know what I mean? Those are those kind of guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Those are unbelievable hitters.
Yeah, listen, Ken Griffey Jr., Manny Ramirez. Who's the first one? Bonds. Yeah, Bonds, Griffey, and Manny Ramirez. I mean, those are great, great hitters. I mean, I don't think Juan Gonzalez belongs in that class.
Juan Gonzalez is pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, Chris. I mean,
the guy hit 350, drove in 160 runs a few times, hit 45 homers.
Yeah, I mean, he also played in the
lineup. He's unbelievable.
They were sharing runs, sharing needles, sharing. I mean, listen, Texas.
I don't throw the steroids into it because I don't believe. Yeah. Let's see those guys fail a drug test. You know what I mean? I don't care what anybody says about the Mitchell Report. Nobody's got any proof that Bonds, that Gonzalez, Look at Pedro Rodriguez. How could he be in the Hall of Fame? He was on that team, and they put him in. Right.
Because they've got no proof.
He got robbed. Piazza should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he got robbed for them accusing him that nobody knows who tested positive. Like Bonds, he never tested. Clemens, he never tested positive.
Yeah.
So how could these guys? And then Seeley, he's in the Hall of Fame. They voted him in.
Agreed.
These guys should be in. Bell should be in.
That's
Carlos
these are
Delgado.
Different. Yeah, agreed. Agreed. Carlos Delgado. I don't know if Carlos Delgado is a Hall of Famer, but the lack of respect he got was ridiculous. Yeah. He was off the ballot in like 2 years. It's a joke. Yeah, I agree. I agree with the Hall of Fame conversation. I agree with you 100%. That I agree. Every name you just mentioned, I agree they should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know that I'm with you. Bond should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. Roger Clemens should be in the Hall of Fame. Mike Piazza was screwed they were waiting for like the shoe to drop, and it was ridiculous. I'm 100% with you. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Mike Piazza is the greatest hitting catcher of all time. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. It's ridiculous. I completely agree with you, and he's in the Hall of Fame, but he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. So should Barry Bonds. So should Roger Clemens. I guess I can tell you I'm a little hypocritical because I don't know if Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire belong, only because to me all they did was hit home runs. And we saw the explosion from them. Like, Sammy Sosa wasn't as good a hitter as Aaron Judge is. He just wasn't. Juan Gonzalez wasn't as good a hitter. He was a dangerous guy for a couple of years. I don't think he's as good as Judge. And again, you got to look back. Look at the batting average during those time periods. Yes, Manny Ramirez hit 350. Look at how many other guys hit 340, 350. I just, and today's game is more specialized. They throw harder. Like, I don't think Manny Ramirez is a great hitter. I'm not trying to disparage him. He would be one of the best hitters in baseball today. I'm not saying he wouldn't be. He'd be one of the best hitters in baseball today. You put him in any, you take Manny Ramirez, you put him in 1900, you put him in 2025. He's one of the best players in the game. No doubt. Manny Ramirez would be great today. I'm just saying that I don't think he'd be hitting 310. He wouldn't be hitting 350. He'd still be a great player. He'd be an all-star, and he'd be worthy of Hall of Fame. But the numbers are a little bit skewed during that when Manny played the game. We just know that. And he did test positive for steroids later in his career. That's a real good one. But, I mean, we're getting Judge is better. Look at his OPS and all his numbers are better. And plus, Manny Ramirez was terrible in the outfield. Ken Griffey Jr. is a real good comp. Obviously, Barry Bonds is the best hitter I've ever seen. I still would say that. But Judge is the best hitter of his generation now for 3 years running, at least. 888-808-1019. I mean, those are some good comps, but we're getting close. He's the closest we've seen to Barry Bonds in a long time. And Albert Bell was great and belongs in the Hall of Fame, too. I don't know if Albert Bell was as complete. I mean, he was a dangerous hitter. Don't get me wrong. He was great. The idea that he doesn't get more Hall of Fame. And Delgado, too. I don't know. I'd have to go revisit Delgado's numbers. Delgado, I don't know if I'm 100% sure Delgado belongs in the Hall of Fame, but I believe he was on the ballot for 2 years. He couldn't get, what does it cost, 5%?
I think he was only on it once.
That's a joke. The idea that Carlos Delgado didn't get enough votes to stay on the ballot is, and who cares, right? You're either Hall of Famer or you're not. I don't care who stays on the ballot all that much, but it just, I remember that jumping out to me. The idea that Carlos Delgado didn't deserve a longer look than 1 year. I don't know what he did. What'd he do? Not stand out there on the field for the national anthem one time or something? Like, what was the issue that Carlos Delgado, because if you go through his numbers, the idea that, you know, and let's just take it to guys we love and know, and like the idea that, you know, Jorge Posada was on the ballot for as long as he was and Carlos Delgado couldn't make it 1 year, it's just a joke. Carlos Delgado was one of the better hitters of his generation, one of the more feared hitters. Do you have his numbers up? Like how many hundred RBI seasons? 10? 9?
9, yeah. And then one season he finished with 99, a couple in the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, he in his last full season in 2008 with the Mets, 271, 38 homers, 115 RBIs, and then the next year he's hitting 298 with 4 home runs. He gets hurt early, and that's it. He's done.
No. Yeah, I think you can make a case Carlos Delgado should be in the Hall of Fame.
Especially this day and age where, like, people, Chase Utley's not a Hall of Famer, but maybe in 8 years he will be like, Carlos Delgado is better than a lot of the guys on this modern ballot.
100%. That, I don't know why, but that one, for whatever reason, really pissed me off.
473 career home runs. Unfortunately, because of that injury, that cost him 500.
See, now that's what we're talking about. 473 home runs. So he was literally...
Played 162 games twice, 2000, 2001.
He was 27 home runs away from being an automatic Hall of Famer. 500 home runs, I mean, maybe they're going to start to reevaluate that. Maybe for that era. I think now if you hit 500 from here on out, you might get credit for it because home runs aren't what they were. But like Carlos Delgado was 27 home runs away from being an automatic lock Hall of Famer. And he couldn't stay on the ballot more than a year. I don't know why, but and I'm not even making the case that he has to be in the Hall of Fame. I think you could make a case he could be. But that one always bothered me. He didn't make it out. He couldn't get 5% of the vote. A guy who's got 900 RBI seasons and 2 or 3 in the 90s, 38 home runs and 115 RBIs at the tail end of his career. That's not a compiler. That is a great freaking player. Carlos Delgado was one of the more feared hitters of his generation. I know because he was in the Yankees division, and I was scared the hell out of Carlos Delgado. He scared the hell out of me. We always talk about, there's a lot of guys that like click. Obviously, I mean, Pete Rose on a different element. Obviously, Bell and Beningo and Evans kind of push for Albert Bell. And there are other names that kind of come up. Oh, obviously, we had the conversation about Don Mattingly and, you know, a lot of the great Yankees of the dynasty era, the Bernie Williams, the Andy Pettit. Sal just asked Andy Pettit the other day if he thinks he belongs in the Hall of Fame. You know, Jorge Posada, Don Mattingly. Like, so we've had these conversations, Keith Hernandez. So we've had conversations around certain guys and whether or not they belong in the Hall of Fame. No one ever mentions Carlos Delgado. And I'm not trying to keep that flame alive, but I remember him not even getting past the first ballot. That is a joke. That's as you want to anything else. Like, that is as disrespectful to any player I've ever seen.
On that same ballot, the only year Delgado was on it, 2015, Nomar got more votes than he did.
Yeah.
Nomar was great, but for like six seasons and then didn't play.
No. And how? What is it, 5% you have to get?
Yeah, and he got 3.8.
Oh, my God. Carlos Delgado got 3% of the vote. That might be, the next time I talk to anyone who does this Hall of Fame voting, I'm going to have to throw that one out there. If John Heyman ever wants to come back on the station, I'll have to talk to John Heyman about why Carlos Delgado got 3% of the vote. Because that's, I mean, that's injustice at its highest.
I can give you a comp. 2 years later, one player got 3.8% of the vote. And as much as you say Yankee bias, who's more of a Hall of Famer, Carlos Delgado or Jorge Posada?
Yeah.
Same exact vote.
They got the same number of votes. I thought Jorge Posada got more than that.
Same percentage, so I don't know how many voters were in the pool.
No, I thought he was on the ballot more than just the 1 year. I thought Jorge was kicking it around for a while. No, I mean, Carlos
Delgado. So maybe that was the second year, and that was the year he was off.
Yeah. No, Carlos Delgado was the better hitter. Now, he didn't really, I mean, he was okay at first base, and, I mean, Posada really wasn't a great defensive catcher. But he won championships. Like, I could understand why the vote would be somewhat similar, but no. Like, you give me, I hate to say this, Yankee fans, and I love Jorge Posada, but in a big spot, who am I more afraid of? I'm more afraid of Carlos
Posada. And Posada was also one and done 2 years later, 3.8%
of the vote. Yeah, I mean, I think Jorge deserved better, too. I think he deserved more than just 1 year on the ballot. But I would have been more afraid of Carlos. In their primes, I'd rather have to face Jorge Posada in a big spot than Carlos.
Bobby Abreu, his first year, got over 5% and stayed on the ballot.
Yeah. No, he's a better. Yeah. I mean, Bobby Abreu for a while was an on base guy. And, I mean,
Tim Hudson got more a couple years after that.
Yeah. No, I mean, Delgado got screwed.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy!
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Your official station to talk New York Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:44, McBonnie here with you. Let's get back to the calls. You guys are all lined up. I've yapped enough. I do want to get to the Giants a little bit. And what's going on with the draft. But we'll take your calls for now. We'll get to it in the 4 o'clock hour. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Also, Stanton spoke to the team before the game saying, we don't get swept at home. I know he's dealing with this thing. And it's the whole situation with Stanton is weird. Because he feels like he's dying to be out there. He's obviously still trying to lead while not playing. He had this elbow injury and he was feeling it in the offseason. Why didn't he have surgery? Like, I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff going on, but you got to love Giancarlo Stanton telling the getting in front of the team and saying, we don't get swept at home. They need that. Like, they need a little bit of F you with the Yankees. Right? And maybe they had it a little bit last year with Juan Soto and Judge together and two of the top three players in the game and everything, but like, this team's young. This team needs a little bit of that. They need a little bit of swag. And if Stan's going to give it to them, great. And I think they got swag with, obviously, Jazz brings a little bit of swag. I mean, Judge is swag personified with how great he is. He's so swag, he doesn't need any. Before the game, Stanton got in front of the team and said, we do not get swept at home. And gave a rallying cry, and they responded by scoring 9 runs. And I'm telling you, the thing with Stanton, I'm hoping Ben Rice really makes this interesting. I was talking about this with the great Emmanuel Babari today at Yankee Stadium, and we were talking. He's really high on Rice. He's been around the team obviously all the spring. He's had a chance to talk to him. He really thinks Rice is going to have like a big, big year, and make it interesting because I would think when Stanton comes back, the Yankees are going to say, all right, Stanton's our DH. I mean, he's Stanton. He's making $32 million. He's a force. He's still a great hitter in the postseason. He carried them. Like, it's tough to just say, well, listen, Giancarlo, we're going to kind of platoon it because Ben Rice has been good. And if they're going to platoon, I mean, the lefty is going to get more at-bats in a platoon situation. So, like, I don't know what they'll do. Maybe it'll take care of itself. Someone else will get hurt. Maybe Goldschmidt will have a bad year and they'll just put Ben Rice at first. I don't know. But if Ben Rice plays really well, it's going to be interesting to see how the Yankees handle it when Stanton's ready to join the team. And he's, swinging a bat again. So we'll see. 888-808-1019. King George in the Bronx. What's up, George?
Live long and prosper. It was Mac the Knife. I'm going to call you Mac the Age.
Mac the Age.
And Edge, E-D-G-E.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know what it is with Soto? It's not why he left, because remember what Voltaire said, when it comes to matters of money, all men are of the same religion. And being you and I are of a different age, mm-hmm. when Sam Cooke was murdered, his best friend married married the widow months later. Mm-hmm. And it was an outrage over that. It's not that he left. It's who he left us for.
Right, okay. And I was wondering where you were going to make that point. Okay, I got you, yeah.
Yes, who you left him for? Because you should listen to some Bobby Womack. He was good, but he even wrote a song about it. I think he trusts me too much, which was really alluding to how quickly him and Sam Cooke's widow got married right after his death. Uh-huh. It's not that he left; it's who he left for. If he'd have went to Seattle, Yankee fans correct. Wouldn't have been as upset.
We wouldn't be, I know.
And remember,
no doubt. They wouldn't be screaming F. Juan Soto. There's no doubt. If he was a Seattle Mariner right now, or he was we'd be laughing at him going to Seattle because they won't win with him. But yes, you're right. Because he's a Met is the reason for the hatred Yankee fans have towards him.
And it's like my father used to always make that quote by Voltaire: when it comes to matters of money, all men are of the same religion.
Yeah.
And now you are officially, in my book, Mac the AIDS, because you come on with the AIDS. You come cutting and slashing like a machete.
Oh, thank you. I like your nickname. Thank you very much. I guess it's better than the Aaron Karen, although I do like that. That's right. I'll take on anyone. Well, throw Hicks in there, too. What the hell? Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Yeah, good morning. Well, good morning. Another victory. Wow. And I'd say this much. The guy that was talking about those players before, you know, putting Sosa and whoever else he mentioned in the category as great all-time hitters.
Yeah.
Please. I saw Mantle. I saw Mays. Not in their primes, but from 57 on. And you can't compare these guys to them. No. I mean, for what he's seen, maybe, yes. I saw Mantle, Mays, Aaron, all those guys. I saw Gibson. I met Siva. I've seen Siva pitch the near-perfect game. I've seen Sandy Koufax. I mean, you're talking about guys who were icons and legends. Are these guys going to be considered legends?
Stu, I don't know if it leans itself to make legends anymore. I mean, I think Mickey Mantle in that era was legends because you didn't get to see them as much. Not every game was televised. You know, you didn't see other teams from across the country. You waited for the All-Star game to see these guys. They became legends because now you're inundated with them. You know, you see every highlight. You see every play. You can watch. I have the MLB package. You watch every game of every player. Like, it's just, I think the idea that, you know, I mean, is Aaron Judge every bit as good as Roger Maris? Yes. Yeah, he is. I mean, you know, he is. I think right now, and I know they did it for long periods of time. I mean, is he as good as Hank Aaron? I wasn't around then. People might think this is blasphemy because they're legends, but it's hard for me to think that Hank Aaron at any point of his career was better than Aaron Judge is right now. You're going to make the case that he was ever better than Aaron Judge? I don't know how you could. He did it for a long time, and he was a great player for a long time, but was there ever a year that he was better than Aaron Judge was in 22 or 24? I don't know. It's hard to be better. The other name that's forgotten is Albert Pujols that we didn't mention during this time period. Albert Pujols was, I mean, he was the best player in baseball for a long time, had an unbelievable start to his career. You look at his numbers, his OPS every year is 1.0, 1.1. Like, he's right there with Judge, too, and his batting average was higher. Judge was a better home run hitter, although Pujols stuck around and hit 700. I think Judge, you know, Albert Pujols never hit 50. Judge has hit 60 and 53 times. They're really good comps, too. Pujols was a machine. Obviously, that was his nickname. Is Judge as good as Pujols was? Pujols did it for longer. Pujols had a good 10-year stretch. Judge has had a very good, you know, 8 years here. But I feel like as good as he was prior, it really he really became the best player in baseball in 22. Like, since 22, he's been a monster. Before that, he was very good. Could have won an MVP in 17, his rookie season. Absolutely. At 50 home runs, could have absolutely, should have been the MVP, in fact. But he wasn't the same hitter he is now. The last 3 years, he's really been different. Mike in Northern California. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing? I love the show, too.
Oh, thank you.
Red type. I got Sam Cook and we got Jolton Joe.
Where Little Sam. I love Sam Cook.
Yeah, me too. You know, I was going to say that a great comp. You know, I was in the Bay Area and Bonds was so surly as a guy. Judge is way better. It seemed like a good guy.
Oh, yeah.
Bonds was incredible in the clutch. He had a perfect comp for him. But here's the thing. Oh, he didn't come through in the playoffs. Well, guess what? In the Angel series, he kind of did.
Yeah.
But it's so good because it's so true what you say, too. And look, I also love your Hall of Fame. You're so right. It's an eye test. I can't give it to Sosa McGuire, but of course Bonds and Clemens are in. And of course, they did steroids. But here's the last thing, too. You're so right. Are we going to put an incomplete on Ted Williams? I don't think he played in the playoffs, but well, can't be a Hall of Fame.
He had one.
To your point, right?
He played in one World Series and he wasn't any good in it. He played in one World Series and he wasn't very good.
But tell the people that say Judge isn't too good. Ah,
well, of course. Good, right? No, yeah. And Willie Mays. Stupid, right? And you look at Willie Mays' numbers in the postseason, wasn't very good.
Of course. And here's the other thing. I do believe in this. Good pitching stops good hitting in a lot of ways, too, right?
Yeah.
No, it's true, right?
Yeah, listen, long are the days, and thank you for the call, Mike. You could still be great or considered great, I suppose, but. Like, long are the days where you could be beloved and held in such great esteem. Like, Ted Williams is, in Boston, untouchable. Like, he's Teddy Ballgame. He's one of the great players who ever lived. Nobody would dispute that, despite not winning a championship. In today's era, now again, there are more playoff teams. I'd have to go back and look at how many wins those Red Sox teams had and how many opportunities he would have had to make the playoffs. I would assume, you know, a decent amount. I don't remember. I know he was on some bad Red Sox teams, but I would think he'd probably make the playoffs more than just a one World Series appearance. But like you could even like I feel like Don Mattingly is going to be the last Yankee capable of it. Don Mattingly is beloved despite not winning a damn thing. Not a single playoff series. He only went to one. And he never won a division. The Yankees never won the division with Don Mattingly. Never won the division in his entire career. And he's beloved. That's not possible anymore. It's hard. That's not possible anymore. And Judge won't even, you know, it feels like if Judge doesn't win a championship, there'll be more knocks on him than people have for Mattingly. Despite him being a better player than Mattingly. Like now, today, it's become all about championships. It wasn't always like that. We talk about it like it was. Oh, the greats have to come through in the biggest moments, and if that's what great is. Well, no, it wasn't always that. That wasn't always the case. Nobody ever like looked at Don. Nobody ever looked at Ted Williams differently and said, well, I mean, he's not really great. He didn't win a championship. Nobody ever looked at it that way. That was never how it was done. Now it is. Now you need to, you know, perform and win a championship. Otherwise, you're not very good. You can't be the greatest. Can't be considered the greatest anymore. Why is Willie Mays' baseball reference page not showing me his postseason? What am I missing here? Just batting and hitting. Where is the postseason? I'll get it during the break. I know I saw it the other day. I don't know why it's not here. Oh, wait, hold on. Playoffs. Oh, no, that's just the top of the screen. It took me to just playoffs. All right, I'll look at it later. Can you find?
It's just right next to regular season. There's a tab that says playoffs.
Where? Right next to regular. Oh, there you go. I always thought you'd scroll down and say, okay, playoffs. Willie Mays. In how many games did he play? He played 33 playoff games, 33. So Judge has played more, but 33 playoff games. That's not the one World Series that Ted Williams was in. So he played 33 postseason games. He won one championship. in 33 playoff games. His batting average was .248. He hit one home run in 33 playoff games. This is Willie Mays now. 600 in the 600 home run club. Widely considered by many the greatest baseball player to ever live. Willie Mays, the greatest baseball player to ever live, played 33 playoff games, hit one home run, drove in 15 runs, hit .248, and had an OPS of .668. Judge's playoff OPS is better than Willie Mays. Judge, the worst postseason player of all time. That's what people tell me. He can't do it in the postseason. It's a joke. It's laughable. How can you call him the greatest? Yet we all call Willie Mays one of, if not the greatest player to ever live. He has one home run, 15 RBIs. He hit .248 and his OPS was .668. Judge has a better postseason OPS than Willie Mays. And one guy is vilified for it, and the other guy, no one mentions it. No one talks about Willie Mays' postseason. No one cares. He's the greatest ever. Why would we care about his? He did win a championship in 54, and he was okay in that World Series. He had .286 in the World Series with an .802 OPS, but he didn't have any home runs, and he drove in three runs in four games. So I'm assuming it was a four-game sweep in 1954. And so I guess that buys him because he is a champion, but his postseason numbers are terrible. But nobody gets on Willie Mays. And I'm not trying to. I'm just pointing it out. Just pointing it out. Willie Mays is one of the greatest, if not the greatest player of all time. Judge is the best hitter. The 3 weeks of the postseason doesn't change what he's done over the course of a career.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes. which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.